month of Ramadan, Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset, affirming their faith. It's a time of community and charity for moral and spiritual upliftment. At the end of the day's fast, Muslims share the evening prayer of Maghrib, eat and contemplate together. Over the month of Ramadan, the Asian Network honors this tradition, offering people an opportunity in the spirit of Ramadan to share their reflections. My name is Naveed Akhtar. My guest is Sheikh Hamza Yusuf of the Zaytuna Institute. He reflects on Islam in critical times.
I would like to think that this month was largely a joyous occasion throughout the Muslim world, and here in the West where many Muslims now reside. Regrettably, this Ramadan, held sacred by so many, was tragically marred by violence of the worst kind. With continual terror in Iraq, Palestine, and most recently Turkey, a strange dual consciousness pervades the Muslim when it comes to modern violence. When Khalil Sakakini, the Palestinian intellectual of the 40s and 50s, reminded the Palestinian leadership of the importance of adherence to the highest principles of engagement in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, he remarked in his journal that they viewed it as romantic chivalry incompatible with the realities of modern warfare. Sadly, this is the reality of modern man. Expediency has won out over principle. The modern Muslim has learned well the lessons of his secular counterpart. American military action rarely distinguishes between combatants and civilians. The Pentagon callously refers to them as secondary effects or collateral damage. When some Muslims use tactics of indiscriminate violence towards their objects of hate, too often other Muslims are quick to defend them, saying, "They kill our innocents and expect us to sit by and watch." Apologetics for wanton killing of women and children on both sides nauseates anyone who considers the very real impact of blood spilled so injudiciously. Like all things in which humans engage, religion has many paradoxical aspects. On the one hand, it elevates our ideals and aspirations to the heavens themselves, giving us such ethical principles as do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Taking one life unjustly is as if you have killed all of humanity. And the entire Torah can be summed up in two statements: love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else is commentary. These are taken from the Christian, Muslim, and Jewish faith, respectively. Meanwhile, some adherents to each faith justify with their teachings the most heinous depredations against their fellow man. Jonathan Swift remarked that we had just enough religion to hate one another and not enough to love one another. Perhaps that is true, but for many people, more religion is no longer a solution to anything, but very much part of the problem. The great tragedy of modern religion is that it is now seen as a toxin polluting the waters of possibility. We who claim faith and commitment have too often made our faith the objects of hatred. With our zealousness, we have driven away countless people who see the worst aspects of people embodied in religion. For some of us, it is easy to write them off as skeptics, mockers, secularists who just hate religion. But the truth is, most of them are none of the above. They are simply people who know intuitively such behavior is simply lacking in humanity, and they then seek other philosophies to guide them. They look to Epictetus or to the Tao Te Ching or even Deepak Chopra, or some give up the search for meaning altogether, contenting themselves with film and music as their spiritual pastimes. Organized religion, with its self-righteous pugnaciousness, its officious meddling in the affairs of others, has driven many moderns to relegate it to the dustbin of discarded ideas. The irony, of course, is that religious people feel the secularists are the pugnacious ones, forcing secularity down their throats, ignoring their most sacred beliefs, and relegating them to a few minutes on thought for a day. The more religion is marginalized, the angrier religious people get. The angrier they get, the more others want to marginalize religion ad nauseam. We have found ourselves in a vicious cyclical clash between secularists, who in many ways abandoned the Enlightenment project of a more humane world long ago, and religious utopians battling for a piece of turf in the modern world. Both sides bitter, both sides with minorities that use indiscriminate violence to lesser and greater effectiveness, both sides becoming increasingly intolerant. Tragically, The very reason so many Europeans felt disillusioned with Christianity was the centuries of intolerance and pointless religious violence. The Muslims, on the other hand, were far less prone to internal religious violence, and the levels of other faiths were unparalleled in the pre-modern world. But explosions in Riyadh, Karachi, Turkey, and countless other places show that violence and intolerance have become the paths of pursuit among religious thrill-seekers in much of the Muslim world. The unexpected effect is that it is not just non-Muslims that find Islam odious, but increasingly many modern Muslims are becoming disillusioned with the faith itself. Blaming the behavior of the practitioners on the religion and seeking alternatives in other faiths or philosophies. I believe many Muslims are in deep denial about this, refusing to even consider it, but I am seeing its signs everywhere, and it troubles me deeply. ¶¶